Sometimes in youth group, now I know this might not be appropriate for this setting, but when has that ever stopped me? One thing we do in youth group a lot, we do a would you rather. Would you rather. We always start our youth groups with a would you rather. And kind of one of the rules is you have to answer one, because obviously most of them you would not rather do either of them. Once in a while, you know, would you rather vacation on the mountains or would you rather vacation on the beach? Like, mountains or beach? Okay, so those are pretty easy. But a lot of times they're not easy ones like that. They're like, would you rather eat worms or June bugs? See, you can't. See, that's how you know someone's new to would you rather. Right away they say, neither one. No, you can't say that. You have to answer. Would you rather eat worms or June bugs? How many would rather eat worms? How many would rather eat June bugs? Wow, crunchy. How about this one? See, it's fun being inappropriate. Would you rather never have hair at all or tattoo your face? Would you rather never have hair ever or tattoo your face? But you can pick what the tattoo is. You could wear a wig, yeah. So how many would rather never have hair? How many would rather tattoo your face? All right. Let's see. How about this one? Last one. Would you rather have your dreams, like nighttime dreams, like your dreams, and it would be your account. Would you rather have your dreams be able to be played in video and have them all put on YouTube? Or have all your inner thoughts typed out and put on Facebook? An uncomfortable hush came across the room. That's a tough one. Dreams on YouTube or all of your inner thoughts on Facebook? How many would rather have your dreams on YouTube? How many would rather have your inner thoughts on Facebook? There actually is a point to this. This falls in the category of things we don't like to talk about. But what are your inner thoughts? Feel free to share as much as you. I'm just kidding. Yep, Sherry's going to put all of her thoughts. Actually, some people maybe should be banned from putting all their inner thoughts on. I think... Now that's funny. I did not expect that to get a bigger reaction out of you guys. All the people that don't even have Facebook, they're like, amen, brother. I don't know what that face thing is, but they shouldn't be putting their thoughts on there. How would you grade your thoughts? How would you, like, how aware are you of what's really going on inside of your head? You know, I told you guys last week, if you were here, that I really struggled for about 4 to 6 months. Oh, not everybody was here last week. I really struggled. It's true. Depression's not the right word, but it's really really struggled just being just the heaviness, just overwhelmed with no hope, you know, just really struggling, and yet knowing that's what God's speaking over us right now is, you know. So that's, if you think it's difficult, you know, the church is full some Sundays and you're up there leading worship. Empty. But yet you know what God's saying, and so you just align your words with that, and nothing on the inside is matching up with that. Sometimes that's okay. But I just really struggled with this. Just wake up in the morning and I wish I could put better words to it, but just like a darkness, just I suppose like a mild depression kind of thing. And then I'd kind of come out of it for a little bit and then just for nothing I could really put my finger on. I've been emotional all my life, and so it's really easy for me to dive into a depression. I'm just you know, tend to be pessimistic, which is a great trait for a worship leader. So I really fight that. That's not, like, that's the downside of my personality when it's not aligned with the Word of God. And so I've kind of, you know, I've gotten used to that. Not used to it, but, you know, I kind of know how to fight some of those. And I can usually put my finger on it and kind of get, you know, knock myself out of it. You know, that was some tricks and tools that actually Marnie's dad actually helped me with a while back. Being a musician, all that stuff's right on the surface. And so kind of helping handle that. So this one, I couldn't shake this one. I couldn't really put my finger on what it was. And what I told you last week is we went and led worship at Huron at just a Holy Spirit encounter weekend for their church. And man, just God had some cool words spoken over Marnie and I. And just there, you know, Autumn talked about just people with heaviness and how she had struggled with that. And just it was a spiritual thing. And I'd never even thought about that in my life either. And so just in that moment, and it was super simple, just something just broke. I came back carrying more of God and being more sensitive to his voice than just I have been in a long time. So I'm really digging this. But one thing that happened throughout this whole thing, knowing that this is what God is speaking right now, what I'm going to share today, just there's moments where you think you kind of might know what God's saying, and there's other times where it's kind of like when you walk into like Walmart or Kmart or Best Buy, and they have the row of TVs, and they're all on the same channel, and you're just surrounded. Yeah, this is one of those moments where everywhere you turn, this is what God's saying. One of the things, not the only, for sure not the only thing, but this is one of the things that he's really wanting to speak to his people. It's about our thoughts. It's coming up over and over and over again, and in my own life, but also in other people's lives. And just really he's speaking that over his church. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? What's going on in your mind? How much do you think about what you think? Huh? Like, how much are we aware of our thoughts? And so what I've noticed during this last week or two after coming back is that I notice when my thoughts don't sound like Jesus. Like I catch it sooner where I didn't used to. I did one just happened yesterday. Yesterday or 2 days, or Friday I think it was. And instantly I was just, you know, kind of sinking down and I caught it right away. I'm like, hold on, what's going on in the head here? Like I started going with it. Like because you feel that way, so it's you just carry it along. Like it's me. You're just, you know what I mean? Like you don't even realize that you're in that slide. And just God just arrested me right there. You're like, wait, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. All good. And that was it, you know? But we need to be aware of what goes on up here. And I think it's super important. What would it be like if you put your thoughts for an entire year out over the airwaves and broadcast them? Now, maybe you don't struggle with, you know, just a lot of the yuck. Maybe you're not struggling with, you know, wanting to kill someone every day or you know, pornographic thoughts or whatever. But a lot of us, I would say a lot of the stuff that happens in here is not helpful. Say not helpful. It's not helpful. It's not bringing us closer to God. It's not making us look more like Jesus. It's not reflective of our partnership with him. Our whole lives is to be a partnership with him. He did it all and then let us partner with him. You know, it's kind of, it's like we talked Wednesday night, maybe it was, or last Sunday, about like, you know, when Jerry's over there fixing in the shop, you know, and his little teeny grandkids or, well, I don't know where, what kind of age you got, but at one point, you know, 3 years old, and they want to help Papa Jerry fix the tire, tractor tire, and, you know, big bolts and nuts on there. So Jerry lets them help, partners with the little kid to help. How much is the little kid really doing? You know, Jerry's doing it all because he's massive and he's a big, strong guy, but the little kid feels like he's helping, right? And so that's our lives. Jesus did it all, but we get to partner with him. So a lot of times our thoughts are not really partnering with God. They're really not lining up with, man, looking more like Jesus and acting like Christ and being like him. There's a Russian word I'm going to teach you today. You guys know any Russian? Okay. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but you don't know Russian, so you won't know either. It's called Pochimuchka. It was in this list of words from other countries that have no real English translation, like literal word-for-word translation. But the idea of it is someone that just incessantly talks too much. Pochimuchka. Yes, exactly. Pochimuchka. I just got done reading a book by Stephen Furtick, and it's called Crash the Chatterbox. So his Pochimuchka, he calls it the chatterbox. It's this thing inside of us. It's constantly going. It's constantly going. Chatter, 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 chatter. And some days it's manageable, but most days it's just chatter, 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 chatter. What'd you do that for, you dummy? Oh, how can you? Why do you think that you need that? Oh, you don't deserve that. You're not good enough for that. How come you want to go out and do something for God? You don't. 50 other people better than you could do something for God. And it's just chatter, 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 chatter. You're not worth enough. We heard it this morning. Marnie said, you're chosen. God just said her heart was just burning in her. You're chosen. You're not chosen. Everyone else is chosen. You're not chosen. You're just a loser. You're not chosen. That's why we do those silly things. All right, everybody say, I'm chosen. It's not just being dumb. It's really aligning our hearts and our mouths and our lives with God and what he's saying. So Stephen Furtick was talking about his struggle. He's written 3 books now, okay? And I've read 2 of them, and they're really good. And he planted a church in South Carolina, and it's grown to, I don't know what, they have like 15,000 people now or something like that. Their worship team, we do 1 or 2 of their songs. So as he's writing this book, you're not an author. You're not good enough to write another book. See, you wrote your 2 books, you just don't have another one in you. Yep, you ran out of creativity. Not enough. Should pick someone else that's really an author to write a book, not you. Just, you know, so he's just chronicling some of his struggles with his chatterbox, writing a book about the chatterbox. And this thing is always going. And what happens is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. You know me, if you've known me for 5 minutes, you know I love science. I love science. I love science. And I love science when it's used for what science is meant to be used for. God's the one that created the sciences. They're the study of to find out how his glory is revealed. Solomon loved science. So there's a scientist by the name of Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And we watched some of it in youth. Ricky's laughing. She's not Australian. I thought she was Australian. She's South African. And she's, for the last 20 years, has done groundbreaking research on the brain, the human brain, our thoughts. She talks about our thoughts. We now have the technology for the first time in history to see thoughts. You can see the peptides and proteins being put together and built into, she calls them thought trees because they look like little trees, calls them thought trees. And when your thoughts are healthy, when you're thinking positive things, and positive things being not in the sense of positive, just kind of like for New Age sake, she's a believer, she's a Christian, she's approaching these things from the Word of God. She said, we're wired for love, we're built for love, we're built for forgiveness, we're built for health, we're built for truth. So when we have these thoughts in our head that are negative, it builds these black, destructive trees. And according to her independent third-party research, anywhere from 75 to 94% or 98% of mental, emotional, and physical diseases can be directly traced back to our thoughts. They've done study after study after study after study. And so what happens is we have these bad thoughts and we dwell on these bad thoughts and I'm not good enough and I'm just, you know, nobody loves me. And what? And, I mean, just pick something. There's enough bad thoughts for all of you to have your own. Okay? Yes. And so you dwell on that, and as you're doing that, what you're thinking about is actually creating a physical reality in your brain. It is becoming a part of you. Now, if you grew up kind of around when I did or before when I did, you'll know that the brain is not forming any new brain cells. It's stuck. It's where it is as it is. Except for in the last 20 years, they found out that, oh, that's wrong. I love when people says, oh, you believe in God, you should just believe in science. I'm like, oh, which science is that? The science that was proven wrong last week or the science that was proven wrong 2 weeks ago? So I love when you take science, how it's meant to be viewed as revealing the glory of God, then you can take these sciences and get them in their prop. They're not meant to be worshipped. They're meant to display his glory. This is just a little side note there. But she's discovering that you can override these thoughts. So I always had this struggle about, you know, God's raised us up and seated us in heavenly places, and he calls us things that we really are. But a lot of times I don't see that in my life. I'm like, well, wait, but if I, which one am I? Am I what I see every, you know? And so she goes into a lot of prisons, and here's what she says to them. She says, you might think you're bad people, but that's what you've become. That's not what you are. God has created you to be pure, holy, lovely, and you can change that. You've spent your entire life rehearsing these thoughts, and the Bible tells us that a thought turns into an action, and action leads to death. It gives us that progression. The Bible tells us this stuff. And so she helps them. She went, and I have to remember the numbers, but it was a lot of prisoners. Hard prisoners, and they had a metal cage up there for her, metal box, and she had two bodyguards, prison guards, and her husband was there, and they said it was hundreds and hundreds. It was a lot of prisoners in one room, and so they said, if anything happens, we'll come up, we'll grab you, pick you up, and throw you in that room and lock the door, and so you'll be safe. And she's going, huh, hope nothing happens. So, but she said at the end of her. She said some of them were there just to get out of whatever, some of them were whatever. And so she explains all this stuff about your brain and how you're wired, what these thoughts do, and how you become this bad thing, but that's not who you are. Like, it is right now, and you're right, because I always struggled with that. It becomes a part of you. It's a part of you, but it doesn't have to stay a part of you. That's the cool thing. It's called neuroplasticity. The ability for the brain to change and become what God made it to be. So through the power of the Holy Spirit and through changing our thoughts, she said when she left, these prisoners, just tears washing down their face, knowing that there's hope for their lives. Most of them were in there for life, but knowing that they didn't have to die as this, they can die as this, giving their hearts to Christ. How cool is that? Open up your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's see this played out in the Word of God here and what we can do about it. Neuroplasticity, that's your word for the day, means the brain's ability to recreate itself. It can erase those proteins and it can rewrite new trees. It can overwrite those bad trees. That is so cool. It's also groundbreaking research. It's really cool stuff. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now I'm going to just, we've shared this story. Pastors talked about this story. You've heard preachers tell this story. You've read this story. It's one of the famous stories. It's about Elijah. You guys know who Elijah was? Old Testament prophet. King Ahab and Jezebel, kind of the scene is set with these diabolical plots and kings and queens and death and all this kind of stuff. Do you know the story about the prophets of Baal and Elijah and the two altars? Do you remember that story at all? The quick rundown of that is Jezebel was really against God and against prophets, so she was killing all the prophets or whatever. And so Elijah says he's the only one left. And so he said, all right, let's have a showdown here. Let's get this solved once and for all. Gather everybody at this valley, and we're going to meet, and you build an altar, I'll build the altar. You bring a bull, I'll bring a bull. You know, whoever calls, here's the test then. We'll find out who's God, and then we'll wholeheartedly serve him. If Baal's God, let him burn up the cow. If Jehovah's God, let him burn up the cow. Okay? So he said, you guys go first. And so, you know, they did. I mean, you guys know the story, right? So they did, and it was kind of a whole day thing, and Elijah did what any good Christian would do. He taunted the other people. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's sleeping. Shout loud, and they're cutting themselves. Satan doesn't have a lot of new tricks. So they're cutting themselves and crying and wailing and offering sacrifices and waiting for him to answer by fire. But he didn't. So then Elijah said, all right, cut up. He built the altar. He put the bull on there. He said, pour water on it. So they got these big vats of water and poured water on it. He said, pour more water on it. So they poured more water. He said, do it again. So they poured more water, and it filled up the whole trench around it, and then, you know, soaked all the wood. So he prayed, God, answer by fire. And so the fire from heaven came down, burned up the thing, burned up the rocks, burned up the water in the trench, burned up everything. Needless to say, there was a great altar call that morning. You know, all the people of Israel came over to his side, and they took out and they slaughtered the prophets of Baal. Kind of a pinnacle in your career, wouldn't you say? You would feel, all right, I got this. Okay, any more questions now? Do we got this taken care of? And I know you guys know this story, what happens next. But what happens next in chapter 19, in verse number 4, I mean, Elijah, you know, ends up running for a while. Verse number 4, Elijah walked for a whole day into the desert. Then he sat down under a bush and asked to die. Wait, what? Huh? So you just have this momentous occasion where your God is God and whatever and whatever. And now you walk for a day in the desert and you want to die. So he says, I've had enough, Lord, he prayed. Let me die. Now watch this line right here. Here's a clue as to what's going on in this whole situation. I'm no better than my ancestors. Huh. Where did that come from? What in the world, guys? Where did that come from? Who said that? He just stood up and he faced the prophets. He did what God called him to do. He said there's going to be no rain for 3 years. Now we're coming to the end of the 3 years. And he had told Ahab there's going to be rain. Now they have this big showdown. Like, now that rain's coming, let's have this showdown get solved once and for all. Who's God? I am a good prophet. And says, I'm no better than my ancestors. That doesn't make any sense to me. Unless Elijah was well practiced at listening to the chatterbox. Does that, right? That little bugger creeps in there at our greatest achievements. Chatter, 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 chatter. Pocha muchka. Chatter, 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 chatter. See, I told you you're no better than your dad. I told you you're no better than your grandpa. I told you. Look at you now. Oh, a little scaredy cat, scared of a little woman who's going to kill you, huh? Stand up against 400 prophets. Now look at you. Yep, that's what God's going to do to you. Yeah, that's what God's going to do to you because you're no better. Just chatter, 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 chatter. Fortunately, and this is Old Testament God, who's the same as New Testament God, but you know, comes and meets with him. Angel of the Lord wakes him up. Here's some bread. Here's some water. Drink it up. Go back to sleep. Gets up again. And there's probably, you'll go hear some other preacher that will probably tell you what the bread symbolized and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It was cool. Because I've heard messages on it, but I forgot it. But then he ends up, and he goes for his journey, 40 days, travels to a cave. Verse number 9, read through this with me. We're going to comment on this a little bit. Okay, so he's got this chatterbox going. I'm no better. I'm just, who am I? Blah, chatter, chatter. Okay, so the angel shows up. Now, how many of you have an angel show up on a daily basis? Okay, this is the guy just had the fire. How many see the fire of God come and lick up rocks and water every day? Okay, we're talking about the guy's had some experiences, right? Had some incredible experiences. Angel shows, bakes bread for him. Doesn't just bring him bread, bakes bread. I've had Jorgensen bread, but I don't know. Angel bread? I'm going for the angel bread. I'm sorry. Angel bread and God water. I mean, that's just really cool. And again, did it a second time. Baked bread on the coals. So then he hikes all the way to a cave for 40 days. Verse number 9, watch this. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, watch now, what are you doing here, Elijah? Here's his answer. Elijah replied, now I'm going to add some tone to this, which I don't know if it's in the original Hebrew or not, but I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel, they've broken down their covenants with you. torn down their altars, and they've killed every one of your prophets. Now watch. He's telling God this, okay? He's like, God, I'm the only one left. Okay? Remember, he's cluing God in to how bad his situation is. Write this down in your notes. That's not always a good idea either, okay? He's cluing God in to how bad he has it. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Chatter, 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 chatter. Yep, it's just you. Oh, look at you. You do these great things for God. Oh, you're no better off than anybody else. Look at you. Now you're stuck in a cave. Look at you. Can't even make it through the desert. Look at this. This is pitiful. You're pathetic. Chatter, 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 chatter. I knew you were a loser. I always knew you. Oh, yeah, you have one great experience. A big deal. Chatter, 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 chatter. You're never going to make it out of here alive. Yeah, sure, God just let you kill 400 prophets, but you're never going to make it out of this cave alive from that one lady. Chatter, 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 chatter. This is it. This is where it's all going to end for you. Yep, your best days are behind you. Hey, how many of you ever heard that one before? Chatter, chatter, chatter. Your best days are behind you. No future for you. Chatter, 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 chatter. I bet a lot of what Elijah was hearing is a lot of what we hear. Maybe we don't go around killing 400 people in a day. I hope. Please. But we still hear these things. Your best days are behind you. Yeah, you remember when there was that great event? Remember when you did this great thing? Remember when you were the great dad for that one moment? Well, your kids hate you now. Chatter, 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 chatter. You'll never have a good family again. Chatter, 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 chatter. You'll never get the raise you need. Chatter, 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 chatter. See what I mean? Poche munchka. So watch how God responds. Watch how God responds. Verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. He's telling God how bad his life is. He's not like standing in great faith, and God's like, because you're such a man of great faith, I'm about to show you myself. He doesn't. God is so merciful. I don't understand him. Elijah's just sitting there, chatter, 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 chatter. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's no good. It's no good. I had a friend of mine just used to say, you just lost the whole thing. You just lost the whole game. You just lost the whole thing. So as soon as you do one thing wrong, oh, you just lost the whole thing. You just lost the whole thing. It's kind of funny, you know, but just that's what that chatterbox is doing. Chatter, chatter, chatter. Not going to work now. So God says, go stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. You guys all know this story too. A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Watch this one. After the earthquake came, verse 12, came a fire. Just a month and a half earlier, what happened with Elijah and the prophets? Where was God? He was in the fire. God answered by fire. Elijah's like, ooh, fire. Oh, not there. You know, it's challenging what he knew. God's challenging to move forward. Don't get stuck in your past experiences. Just because God showed up one way, one time, just because that was the glory of God in that moment, just because this is what Christianity looks like, this is what it looks like to really have success in Jesus, and now you're not seeing that, I'm not in the fire right now. I hope that resonates with someone here this morning. I'm not in that fire right now. Watch this. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. One of the commentaries said that a translation for that could be the silence that is heard. I love that. The silence that you can hear. Still small voice. God said, this is me putting words into God's mouth. Again, write this down. You know, it's never a good idea. But I'm guessing God said, if I'm going to shut this chatterbox up, first I need to get him to know what it sounds like to hear the real thing. You need to hear the pure thing to know what the chatter sounds like. Because the chatter doesn't sound like chatter. It just sounds normal. It just sounds like me, right? The chatter doesn't sound like this big diabolical chatterbox pochabunchka machine. It just sounds like me. The chatterbox sounds like me. That's why I believe it, because it sounds like me. I know that's true because I feel just like that. Boy, that's true. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to have enough. You're never, oh, why do you even try anymore? Chatter, chatter, chatter. Yep, I know that's true. Hey, man, can I get a gay man? Look at me, God. Suffering for Jesus. I'm pathetic. You know? Chatter, 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 chatter. And I really think God said, if you're gonna expose this chatter, you got to hear. You don't need another experience with God. You had an experience with God. You saw the fire. You saw the smoke and the billowing strength of God. What you need for this thing, you need to hear what truth sounds like. You need to hear the real thing. So Elijah stands there. Here's the still small voice. I don't know what the still small voice said. It doesn't record it. But he heard this and he immediately recognized God is here. The Lord is here. Covers his face. This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment when God shows up. This is a holy moment when the still small voice begins to speak. That's God. So he covers his face. Now watch. Now this kind of threw me until I read it and reread it and reread it. Watch this now. Immediately after he hears the still small voice, covers his face with a cloak. He's in this holy, reverent moment with God. He recognized that God's in the voice. God's in that quiet, still voice. God says, same thing. Elijah, what are you doing here? Gives the same reply. My guess, this is not recorded, but my guess is it sounded more like this. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left. They're trying to kill me too. I bet it started sounding a lot dumber. God wanted him to say it again, I think, to expose. What does chatter sound like? Because he had already asked him just a couple minutes earlier. What are you doing here? Elijah gave the whole speech. God said, I want to show you what truth sounds like. What is my presence look like? He shows up in the still small voice. He asks him again. Elijah says it again. And I think God just really wanted to say, you see how silly that sounds? Yeah, there might be some truth in that, but do you see your posture from that? Saying, woe is me. Do you see how silly that sounds when I'm the God of heaven and earth? The Lord said, go back the way you came. Immediately, he just says, go back the way you came to the desert. When you get there, anoint this guy king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu over Israel. Anoint Elisha. He's going to succeed you. So God's like, he's saying, I'm the only one left. Chatter, 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 chatter. It's all done. God shows up, says, go forward. I've got a future. I've got a successor for you. There's new kings coming. I'm not in the fire right now. Listen. Just listen. Move. And so, I love what God says in verse 18. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all who have not bowed down their knee to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. All the while your little chatterbox is going on, you're not good enough. I'm the only one left. There's no one that knows how I feel. I'm just not good enough. Everyone else is good enough, but not me. Oh, look at them. They got it all together, but I'm just a loser. Oh, they're such super Christians, and I'm just nothing. I'm just don't have the faith that they have. I'm just chatter, 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 chatter. God says, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. Here's what God was saying. In your mind, this is 7,000 times worse than you're making it out to be. In your little pochamunchka, 7,000 times more depressing than real life. Yeah, maybe there's, you know, maybe there's been some rough times. But if you could see what I can see, there's 7,000 you don't even know about. Did you ask me if there's anyone else? You just told me you're the only one left. Huh. Exactly. We get so convinced these thoughts in our head are the truth. We get so convinced. Let me read a couple verses. You don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to go through them real quick, just for time's sake. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they knew God. Say they knew God. They knew God. They neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile. They didn't glorify God, so something happened in their thoughts. Get that connection. Something happened with their thoughts, and from that point on, it was a nosedive. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." Like, change what's happening up here because you can. Just whisper to somebody, you can. You can. 2 Peter chapter 3, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking. I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking. Peter's just saying, I know you guys are struggling, but half of what you're struggling with is because you're not thinking right. You're dwelling on the negative. You're dwelling on how hopeless it is. You're dwelling on the bad. You're growing all these bad trees in your head, and it's becoming permanent. I want to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Think rightly. And he says, refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles. He's like, God's speaking. What is he saying? I want to remind you what he's saying. What is God saying? I know what's going on in there. I don't want to be there. But what's God saying? Stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Get our minds and our brains thinking on what God is saying. How many times, and I can't answer that, and you maybe can, but do you remember over and over and over again, Jesus would say, or the scriptures would say, knowing their thoughts, or knowing what they were thinking, Jesus did this, Matthew chapter 9. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Why do you let these evil thoughts get in there? He asked a question. Why? I'm asking myself the same question. Why? What does that do? Nothing good. I've seen what the bad can do. It's not good. Why do you entertain them? Why do you let them in? Let this be the last verse. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't wage war as the world does. This is kind of the big, you know, spiritual battle kind of deal. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Now watch. We demolish arguments and every pretension or thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. I'm going out doing spiritual battle, and please, I'm not belittling this. I'm not making fun because I covet this. Like, I'm going out to do spiritual battle. We're going up on this mountain, and we're going to gather together, you know. But what if, I'm just saying what if this verse and the bulk of our spiritual battle took place right here? What if our greatest spiritual warfare, because that's what it's saying. It's saying we're taking captive every thought. We're destroying these things in our minds, these strongholds that set itself up against God. If you don't believe that can be a stronghold, how much of our life have we not seen what we want to look like, what we want to do, what we want to achieve, because we keep getting knocked back by the same? Would you not call that a stronghold? Some of those are thought patterns. Some is just plain demonic, but some is by maybe inspiration of the demonic, but it's reoccurring thought patterns. And we don't even know that we're thinking them. That's the diabolical part right there, as we're just about done. But we don't even know that we're thinking those thoughts because it just sounds like me. That's me. You know, well, I'm like this. Well, you don't have to be. You should be like Jesus. And that's what's available. Well, I'm just this. Well, you can be. Take captive every thought and teach them to obey Christ. Bill Johnson at Bethel teaches, you produce around you what you're carrying in you. I really had to think about that. I've heard that. The first time I heard it was probably 2-3 years ago. I didn't know if I agreed with it, and I thought about it, and just the more I think about it, that's so true. So think about that in this context. If that's true, if we produce around us what we're carrying in us, let me challenge you with this. You walk into a room and it's quiet in there and there's a couple people in there and you're like, whoa, fight. And you back out. Nobody said anything. How many's ever experienced anything like that? Like, yep, I just walked in. It's a little tense in here. Or you walk into a room and you're just like, it's just negative. You just feel that right away. And you're just like, you're right. This does suck. Oh. Sorry, shouldn't say that word. This does stink. Because you get caught up in that environment and no one's even saying anything. It just permeates the atmosphere. Or conversely, when you've been in people's homes and there's just a peace. There's such a peace. Or there's a hospitality. You just feel like, you walk in, I feel like a king. Like, I know you just got me a glass of water, but you made me feel so good about myself. You know, there's that atmosphere. What you're carrying within you. So if we're just letting these thoughts grow, those nasty black trees in our brains, and just become part of us, we're becoming that junk. Listening to that chatterbox. I'm not good enough. I'll never be. No one loves me. God loves everyone but me. Yeah, well, he loves me because he has to, but he wants to love everyone else, and he doesn't want to love me, but he does because he's God, and he has to do that. Well, God has given everyone else gifts, but I don't have anything. Yeah, there's a place for everyone else, but I don't have a place. Blah, 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 blah. Chatter, 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 chatter. Guess what we start carrying within us? Hey, who'd you tell Jesus about Jesus today? I'm just trying to make it to the other end of the church. You should see what's on the inside. I don't want to see what's on the inside. Let's maybe change that. What if you carried around all day in you? Man, Jesus died for me. I'm his and he is mine. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He created me before time to be set for good works. Good works, good thing. Pastor talked about it last time. The goodness of God. He's for you, not against you. And just all day long, we rehearsed that. And every time that little chatter came up, you'd be like, whoa, that sounds weird. You shouldn't be here. We're doing something for God here. Just go away. All of a sudden, that chatter sounds a lot more ridiculous, just like Elijah. Once you hear that true voice of God, that's why we've got to be in the Word. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to be at church. Not to punch your Jesus card. Come on. You guys already got the package deal. Don't worry about it. We're not getting to heaven because we got to, hey, buy 10 Sundays, get one free, you know? That's not the deal. But you're desperately needed here for you and for others. And I believe as you guys do, as we stop just soaking it in, just being little me, 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 me sponges, as you start being givers like you guys are, and you come and you put your hand on someone's shoulder and you just speak to them just words of encouragement about what God has spoken over their life, you just stick a little monkey wrench in their chatterbox. They're like, oh, whoa, what? What did you say? I said, God loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. Oh, yeah, I heard that before. Hear it again today. You know, whatever it is, as we're just giving, all of a sudden we're hearing that voice of God, and that chatter gets quieter and quieter and quieter. It's so true, what we think we are, what we think about ourselves, how we see ourselves. And because Jesus did it all, we're just partnering with him. We're just the little kid at Jerry's shop that gets to pull on the wrench. But it's really him. He doesn't love us because we're so amazing or because we're created in his image. So in that sense, we are. We really are. But it's nothing to get arrogant about. I didn't make me. I've made other stuff, but I didn't make me. He made me. So I can rejoice in that. I can be excited about that. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made because he made me. Huh. Amen. That's good. Last thing. Time and again in the Bibles, they would change someone's name. You might see yourself as Abram, but the call on your life is to be the father of nations. Maybe you've got some problems with chatter because it's taken a long time to have these kids. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. means the father of many, the father of nations. So that every time the chatterbox is going off and you got to go out and introduce yourself to someone, you say, hi, I'm the father of nations. Hi. What's your name, Jerry? Father of nations. I'm not prophesying that over you or I, but father of nations, how are you doing? Hi, father of nations. Every time he said his name, he was reminded. He had something to go against the grain of that chatterbox. His wife, Sarai, and she made some mistakes. Change your name to Sarah. Princess. Hi, I'm a princess. Hi, princess. What if God wants to change your name today? Not literally, but to change how you see yourself in his image. Amen?